Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 11. In the first part of this chapter, we have another message of judgment from the Lord through Jeremiah to the people of Judah. And in the last section of this chapter, we have the record of a plot to take the life of Jeremiah by those who did not like his sermons of judgment. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And I answered and said, So be it, Lord. Then the Lord said to me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or inclined their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And the Lord said to me, A conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will surely bring this calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal." Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 11 with some background notes. After the call of Jeremiah in chapter 1, we had two prophetic messages from Jeremiah in chapters 2 through 6. Then beginning in chapter 7 and continuing on through chapter 10, we had what could be called Jeremiah's temple address, because the content of all four of these chapters was probably given about the same time in the temple area of Jerusalem, soon after the tragic death of King Josiah in 609 BC. We saw that chapter 7 is the more well-known of these four chapters and called the temple sermon because of Jeremiah's rebuke to the people for thinking that they were safe from God's judgment because they had God's temple in Jerusalem, and for thinking that all they had to do was just say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, almost as a mantra, chapter 7, verse 4. Now here in chapter 11, we have a fourth sermon by Jeremiah concerning the broken covenant. Chronologically, it looks like this fourth sermon was given before the temple sermon, and may have been given soon after a copy of the law was found in the temple complex, which led to the short-lived revival during the reign of King Josiah in 621 BC. Unfortunately, this revival, like many others, only lasted for a short time before the people returned to their sinful ways. Verse 10, here the Lord says to Jeremiah, "They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers." Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 11. Doctrinal point number one, idolatry results in broken covenants. Idolatry results in broken covenants. The covenant referred to here in Jeremiah chapter 11, in verses 2, 3, 6, 8, and 10, is obviously the Mosaic covenant, which God made with his people at Mount Sinai after he brought them out of the iron furnace of slavery in Egypt at the time of the Exodus. Verse 4. The Mosaic covenant was a conditional covenant. That is, it could be broken if the people did not keep it. The Abrahamic covenant, on the other hand, was an unconditional covenant. Under the Abrahamic covenant, God promised Abraham and his descendants a nation, a land, and the Messiah. That's why Israel is a nation today, and why Israel still has a divine claim to the land. The Messiah has come, and the unconditional Abrahamic covenant is still valid today. But the Mosaic covenant, on the other hand, was conditional, and it was broken. There were blessings and cursings associated with a conditional Mosaic covenant. You can read about these blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Israel would be blessed in the land if they kept the covenant, but Israel would be cursed and put out of the land if they broke the covenant. The end of verse 3, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant. Israel broke the covenant. Verse 8, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And the end of verse 10, the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. We see in the first half of verse 10 that idolatry was the underlying cause of the broken covenant for both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The beginning of verse 10, they have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. And verse 13, for according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. Therefore, the nation would reap what she had sown, and the false gods would not be able to save them. Verse 12, then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. Idolatry always results in broken covenants. Think of how today's gods of materialism, sex, and human freedom, for example, have resulted in broken marriage covenants and other responsible commitments. Idolatry results in broken covenants. Doctrinal point number 2. Idolatry results in brazen conspiracies. Idolatry results in brazen conspiracies. Verses 18 through 23. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you have showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. The people of Judah did not like what they were hearing from Jeremiah. And so to get rid of the message, they plotted to get rid of the messenger. Even the men of Anathoth, Jeremiah's hometown, sought ways to kill Jeremiah. In Luke chapter 4, the unbelievers of Nazareth, the Lord's hometown, openly tried to kill the Lord by throwing him over a cliff because they did not like his message. When unbelievers hate the message, they hate the messenger even more, and their conspiracies to remove the messenger become quite bold and brazen. In fact, if it wasn't for the protection of the law, many more preachers of the gospel would openly be killed by those who hate the message. We would be like lambs led to the slaughter, verse 19. Did you notice the reaction of many to the recent death of a well-known preacher who denounced the social sins of this nation? His death was greeted by secret cheers from the liberal left, and some were even quite open and brazen about it. We see in these verses that God revealed to Jeremiah the threats to his life and delivered Jeremiah from the plots to kill him. Now, when Jeremiah prayed for God's vengeance on these would-be killers in verse 20, and God answered in verses 21 through 23, keep in mind that Jeremiah was not looking for personal revenge, but was praying on the basis of God's righteous standards. Jeremiah wanted the righteous standards of God to be upheld and maintained, and so should we. We should pray for God's righteous judgment on those around the world who would brazenly kill God's people in the name of their false gods. Such idolatry is openly blasphemous to the true and living God. Idolatry results in brazen conspiracies. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 11. Don't miss the significance of my beloved in Jeremiah 11:15. Don't miss the significance of my beloved in Jeremiah 11:15. Now note the context of this term, my beloved, as I read verses 14 through 17. So do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many? And the holy flesh has passed from you when you do evil. Then you rejoice. The Lord called your name, green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. For the Lord of hosts who planted you has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. In spite of the fact that Jeremiah was told once again not to pray for this people in verse 14, and in spite of the fact that their sacrifices were meaningless, verse 15, and in spite of the fact that as a nation they were now a fruitless olive tree, which had to be burned, verse 16, and in spite of the fact that they would have to be severely disciplined because of their idolatry, verse 17, yet God still referred to them as my beloved. What a great encouragement that should be to backslidden believers today. No matter how far you've wandered, and no matter how much discipline the Lord has had to bring into your life, you are still God's beloved child if you're in the family of God. And as the cut-off olive branches of Israel will once again bear fruit, according to Romans chapter 11, so you too can be restored to a position of close fellowship with the Lord because you are still one of God's beloved children. Don't miss the significance of my beloved in Jeremiah 11:15.